Chicago, 1933. And the world's greatest show, the Century of Progress Exposition, a tremendous panorama of achievements spread before the eyes of thronging multitudes.
One of the things those thronging multitudes came to see at the World's Fair in 1933 was what's called the House of Tomorrow. It still exists today and was declared a national treasure this week by the National Trust for Historic Preservation. The designation will help to raise money to restore the House of Tomorrow, which has fallen into disrepair. The house is an example of early modernism. It was full of state-of-the-art appliances and air conditioning even. They were marvels back in 1933. Todd Zeiger is the director of the Indiana Landmarks Northern Regional Office. Todd, could you describe the House of Tomorrow for us?
The House of Tomorrow, designed by Chicago architect George Fred Keck. It was a very forward-thinking and innovative full-glass house with a steel structure, curtain wall, glass walls on the outside, innovations such as a garage. You could park your car inside and hit a button and the door would go up, and a dishwasher that would wash your dishes for you, and very early into thinking about solar design.
Again, this is back in 1933. Solar design in what way?
Keck designed this house with floor-to-ceiling glass windows and noticed when he was building it in the fair in 33, before it opened, that the workmen in Chicago in the winter were in their shirt sleeves, which if you've been in Chicago in the winter is a little novel, and began to realize that that passive solar design could heat a house, and worked with that throughout his career. And that goes all the way back to his work at the House of Tomorrow and the fact that he designed this innovation, this house with a steel structure and curtain walls of glass.
Funny, it still makes it sound like the House of Tomorrow. Tomorrow, even today in some ways. So the house is now in a state of disrepair, as we said. It's in the Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore, moved from Chicago after the World's Fair closed in 1934. How come it was moved?
It was moved. There was a gentleman by the name of Robert Bartlett. And Bartlett was creating a new development called Beverly Shores, Indiana. And he saw these houses, along with another dozen from the fair, as a way to begin to promote his development. He would bring folks over from the South Shore and kind of tour them through the houses. So he moved them over there from the fair as a way to spark his development and hope that folks would come buy property in Beverly Shores, what he was promoting as the Miami Beach of the North.
And did they? Was the house a draw?
It was a draw, just like at the fair. I mean, over 39 million people went through the fair itself. And so if you think about the influence that this house, the House of Tomorrow, had, this influence on 39 million people seeing it and these innovations that it had and dreaming about, I don't know, you could park your car inside the house. You know, 1933, you didn't do that. You parked your car in a garage out back like you put the horse.
And by the way, not only was there a garage, attached garage for the house, but also for your own personal airplane, which we would all have.
Yeah, that's everybody loves the airplane hangar. The charge to the designers in the home and industrial arts group of the fair, where this house and the other four that are nearby it were at, was to design an affordable house that would be thinking about what we would be living at in the future, living in materials and design, appliances, that sort of thing. And the House of Tomorrow very much pushed that envelope the farthest and had the most influence and we would say the most innovation, including, that's right, an airplane hangar. So for some of us, we're still waiting for that innovation and to come, but it had an airplane hangar. You could back your airplane into its own little garage and park it next to your car. Had other things like a machine shop, because if you have an airplane in a car, you need to be able to make some parts and fix it. And then the living space was actually on the upper floor, what you might call the second floor, which is another innovation of this home. Most people didn't live only on the second floors of their homes. This one elevated that up one story.
What's the status of the house right now in terms of deterioration? Is it stable?
The house is very stable. The steel structure, that innovation of the steel structure, is solid. We'll need some repair, but you know, that's really the most important piece, to make sure you've got a good solid structure, and we've got that. It is a full top-to-bottom restoration. We are figuring about $2 million in cost and maybe 2 years to get it done. It's had some changes, which you would expect after 70 years or so, that will take off. But it's a good place to start, but it is certainly a top-to-bottom restoration.
What's your idea for the house? I mean, ideally, what would you like to see happen with it?
Well, you mentioned this, and actually our vision for this is to make this the best of Keck's design, those influential pieces that we talked about, the glass structure, and but also make this a new house for tomorrow so we can include things around sustainability and the modern technologies that can be put in as part of a rehabilitation. Once the restoration is completed, Indiana Landmarks, who's doing the project, will lease this house completed, so you would be able to live in the house of tomorrow for,
wow,
we're thinking, 3-year periods.
Wow.
And then be able to enjoy that.
Todd Zeiger, director of the Indiana Landmarks Northern Regional Office, preserving the 1933 House of Tomorrow from the Chicago World's Fair. Good luck, Todd. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa, very much.